Certainly glad you're here this evening. I'm going to look at the beginning of Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. Romans 5 and verse 12. The Apostle Paul says, "Therefore, as through one man sin entered into the world, and death through sin, so death passed unto all men, for that all have sinned." Think about that for a moment, and in a way, that's a rather depressing verse there. It says, "Therefore, as through one man sin entered into the world, and death through sin." Now, we just stop there. We might conclude that we have no hope, because once sin came into the world, and we sin, all of us are going to be lost eternally. But he says then also, "And so death passed unto all men, for that all sinned." So death was a consequence of man's sin. We go back to Genesis chapter 3, and when Adam and Eve sinned against God, and they were warned by God himself and told not to eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, which is in the center of the Garden of Eden. He said, "You can eat every other fruit and vegetable and everything in the garden, but don't eat of that." Well, of course, that's precisely what eventually they did. And we don't know exactly how long they were in the Garden of Eden. It probably may have been several years or something. We don't know exactly, but we know that after a while, Satan came and tempted Eve, and then she gave the fruit to Adam, and he ate of it. And, of course, because of that, the condemnation of God was that death would come. Now, death physically did not come in immediate sense. They still lived a long time after they came out of the Garden of Eden. And Adam lived to be over 900 years. And so, finally, though, he died. But spiritually, they died right there when they sinned against God. And that's what Paul is talking about. As through one man sin entered into the world, and death through sin. It wasn't just that Adam sinned, it's that God specifically told him, "Here is the consequence of your sin and what it's going to bring about." And so from that time on, everyone will die. That's the way it is. That's the way we are. The only exception may be that if we happen to live until Christ comes again, we won't have to die physically, but our physical body will be left behind. So in that sense, it will die too. And so we look at that, and we find then that sin, according to the book of 1 John, is transgression of the law. Transgression means to go beyond the limit. And so when we sin, we go beyond the limit of God's will and God's law. And when we do so, then we sin. Now, the word sin comes from a Greek word, meaning to miss the mark. And literally, it was a word used originally in archery for finding a target, and they would shoot the arrow and it would miss the mark. And so it was sin. And that's where the word came from. So when we sin against God, when we sin in whatever way we do, we miss the mark. We miss the mark of goodness and righteousness and God's will. And so that idea is still there now from all the years that the world has been here. But in Romans chapter 6, the Bible tells us then that the wages of sin is death. And so If we have all sinned and the wages of sin is death, that means we have no hope whatsoever. And someone pointed out to me one time, for us, it is impossible for us to be saved. It is impossible for you and me to be saved. We cannot work long enough and do enough good things and do enough righteous things in our life that we deserve to have eternal life. But in Romans 6:23, it says the wages of sin is death. But fortunately for us, it doesn't stop there. It says, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. So the alternative is not that we can save ourselves, which we can't, but the alternative is that Christ went to the cross for you and me and died there so that we could have the promise and the hope of eternal life with him. But without Christ, there's no hope. As it says, the wages of sin is death. Romans 3 and verse 23 says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Therefore, we are sentenced to death without Christ. And so that is the only hope. The only hope we have of eternal salvation is the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. If we left out any one of those things, then it would not have been done. It would not have been fulfilled what God wanted. And so Jesus died on the cross. He was taken down. He was put in the tomb as the Old Testament prophesied that he would. And on the third day, he rose from the grave. And he appeared to many different people for the next about 40-day period to prove that he was, in fact, resurrected from the dead. And so without those three things, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, what it says in Romans 5 and verse 12 would still be in effect. There is therefore, as through one man sin entered into the world and death through sin, so death passed into all men for that all sinned. It wasn't just physical death, it's also spiritual death. Spiritual death comes first because that's what happens when we sin against God. In any way that we sin, that's spiritual death. But if we're forgiven, we can have eternal life. And so physical death comes because and as a result of man's sin also. So we look at what it says in Romans 5 and verse 12. We go back there again. It says, therefore, as through one man sin entered into the world, and death through sin, so death passed into all men, for that all sinned. So death passed to everyone else. Now, that does not mean in this particular situation that if we possibly could live a sinless life, we would live forever in the physical realm, because the sentence of death has already been brought to us. Now, it doesn't mean that we inherit the sin of Adam, but we inherit the consequences of the sin of Adam. And that was one of the consequences. But also there is spiritual death. There's physical death and there's spiritual. Spiritual is our separation from God. And the only way we can get back in a relationship with God is through Christ. And so you skip down in Romans chapter 5 to verse 19. Romans 5:19, he says, for as through one man's obedience the many were made disobedience, the many were made sinners, even so through the obedience of one shall the many be made righteous. And the law came in besides, that the trespass might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did abound more exceedingly, that as sin reigned in death, even so grace shall reign through righteousness unto eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So he repeats the idea in verse 19. It says, for as through one man's disobedience, he says there, the many were made sinners, even so through the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. So we are made righteous. We are not righteous of ourselves. It's like in the Old Testament, the Bible tells us, and it repeats the idea in the New Testament several times, that Abraham believed God and it was reckoned to him for righteousness. When God called him and said, you leave Ur of the Chaldees and you go to a place I will show you. And Hebrews 11 said he went out not knowing where he was going, but he went on faith. And so that faith is what caused a God to reckon righteousness to Abraham, because he believed and he obeyed the things the Lord commanded. So it says then, through the obedience of the one shall many be made righteous. Verse 20, for the law came in besides, that the trespass might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did abound more exceedingly. So the law of Moses came in, and it offered a limited, you might call it, forgiveness, looking forward to Christ. But it was still a matter of the grace of God. God's grace was there. It was not emphasized as much in the Old Testament as it is in the New. But the grace was still there. The love and the mercy of God and His grace was always there throughout the Old Testament. But still, the fulfillment of that was not going to be till Christ came. But if they were faithful under the law, the grace of God would forgive. And it says, grace did abound more exceedingly. Verse 21, that as sin reigned in death, and it did and it still does if we don't come out of sin, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So grace reigns through Christ. Again, not because of our goodness and our righteousness, but because of His. So death is the result of sin. We go again back to Genesis chapter 3, that's what happened to Adam and Eve when they sinned, when they, as the term means, missed the mark in the Garden of Eden, when they partook of the forbidden fruit. They sinned. They did not hit the target of righteousness. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and in verse 21, verse 20. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 20. He says there, but now hath Christ been raised from the dead, the first fruits of them that are asleep. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. So he says Christ has been raised from the dead. The whole point of 1 Corinthians 15, the whole chapter, is the fact that our salvation is based upon the resurrection of Jesus Christ. If he had died and gone into the tomb and he had stayed there, we would have all been lost. In fact, in chapter 15 and verse 19, he says, if we have only hoped in Christ in this life, we are of all men most pitiable. In other words, if Christ has not been raised from the dead, we've got a false hope. We're believing in something that didn't happen, and we're going to be lost. But he says then there in verse 22, for as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. We are made alive by our faith and our obedience to the gospel because of what Christ did for you and me. And so we look back in Romans again, in Romans chapter 5 and verse 19. He says there, for as through one man's disobedience the many were made sinners, even so through the obedience of the one shall the many be made righteous. And the law came in besides, that the trespass might abound, for sin abounded, grace did abound more exceedingly, that as sin reigned in death, even so grace might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. In other words, grace triumphs over sin. And when we repent and we come to God, when we obey the gospel, we are forgiven. So one man brought sin into the world, Adam, or Adam and Eve, if you want to say that. But he says by one man's obedience, God gave forgiveness, and that's through Christ. He obeyed perfectly. He was the only one that ever did. The only person that ever lived and that did not die when he was just a child and had no ability to understand right from wrong. But everyone who has the ability to understand that difference, we're going to sin. We're going to fall short. And in so doing, Jesus lived his entire life, even though the Bible says in Hebrews 4:15, he was tempted in all points like as we are. And yet it says, and yet without sin. So by his obedience to God in every possible way, he offered to us eternal life. In John chapter 19, verse 30, when Jesus was dying on the cross, the last thing John records that he says was, it is finished. It wasn't just his life was finished, and he was finished with the suffering and being on the cross. He had finished, completed everything God the Father required of him. The law, as this indicates in Romans chapter 5, the law, and it's talked about more in the book of Galatians, was written and revealed to reveal sin to the people. Now, in a sense, they knew they were sinners already, but it specified how they had sinned and under what circumstances they did. And so that's why it says here, in Romans 5, that sin reigned. In other words, all of mankind was under the curse of death because they had sinned until Christ came. Now, you read in the book of Hebrews, and you'll find that the blood of Christ forgave people who were faithful under the law of Moses and the patriarchal law who had lived before Christ. But it didn't actually come fully until Christ died on the cross and rose from the grave the third day. But then after that, grace reigns over sin. Now, you know, we look in our world today and we see, you know, crime, all kinds of warfare, all kinds of terrible things going on. And we might conclude, well, sin has absolute reign over all of mankind. Well, he says, no, that's not the case. If we're willing to follow Christ, the grace of God will overcome sin. It will overcome everything else because of the righteousness of God and of Christ and by the revelation of the Spirit in His Word. So we look at that. Now look down at, in chapter 6 and verse 1. Here we have, it's really chapter 6, verse 1 and following is a continuation of the same thought of eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord at the end of verse 21 of chapter 5. So he says then what shall we say then? So if that is true, through Adam and through man, sin came into the world. Through Christ, salvation comes. What shall we say then? In other words, what will we do about what has been done for us? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? It's an interesting question. Because seemingly, because Paul asked that question, there were those who had the idea, okay, if grace rules over sin and overcomes sin, then the more we sin, the more grace will be there, the more blessed we'll be. That seems to be the attitude or the idea that some had. Paul says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? He says, God forbid. Or some translators say, may it never be, or similar words there. And in fact, it's two words, very hard to exactly translate. But the idea was a very emphatic no. It cannot be that way. And then he explains, verse 2, God forbid, we who died to sin, how shall we live any longer therein? Well, there's the point. We're buried with him in baptism, which is what it's going to say later on in chapter 6. That means we die, we're not buried till we die. So we die with him when we're baptized into Christ, and that body of sin is left behind. He says, we who died to sin, how shall we live any longer therein? We cannot. It's not possible to do both. Verse 3, or are you ignorant that all we who are baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him through baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we also might walk in newness of life. For if we become united with him in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away, so that we should no longer be in bondage to sin. For he that has died is justified from sin. For if we die to our old way of life and we're baptized into Christ, and we come up out of the water a new person. Back to verses 3 and 4. Or are you ignorant that all we were baptized into Christ were baptized into his death? That's where we contact the blood. Jesus shed his blood on the cross as he died. And that's where we contact it. Verse 4. We were buried with him, therefore, through baptism into death, like as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we also might walk in newness of life. So sin came into the world because Adam and Eve sinned. We inherit the consequence of that sin, all of the evil that's in the world, and of ultimately death, physical death and spiritual death, but it doesn't have to be that way. So sin cannot be where, forgiveness is not going to be where sin continues. That's why I asked the question, shall we continue, as some say, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? No, absolutely not. That's not what it means. But there are some that seem to have that idea. And so sin, of course, is able to be overcome by the grace of God. Well, grace does not mean that there's no we have no responsibility. Yes, Ephesians 2 says we're saved by grace through faith, but not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Well, the grace doesn't come because we decide on it ourselves. It comes because we believe and obey the things that the Lord commands. And so we go back again to Romans chapter 5, that in sin to abound, it means that people have to continue in that, and they will be lost, and they will die physically first and spiritually for all of eternity. But in Christ, we can have eternal life. Well, what then is Paul talking about being buried with him in baptism? Well, look down in chapter 6 of Romans, and beginning at look at verse 16. He says then, "Know you not that to whom you present yourselves as servants unto obedience, his servants you are, whom you obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness." Now here is the choice that we make. We can continue in sin, but we're going to be a slave, the servant of sin, now and for all of eternity. But we have an alternative. If we decide to obey the gospel of Christ, the righteousness overcomes and the grace of God overcomes the sin that we have committed because we've repented and obeyed the gospel of Christ. Verse 17, he says, "Then, but thanks be to God that whereas you were servants of sin, you became obedient from the heart, that form of teaching whereunto you were delivered, and being made free from sin, you become the servants of righteousness." He says, thanks be to God. Whereas you were servants of sin. That's what you were before. But he says you obeyed that form of teaching or that form of doctrine that was revealed to you. What's the form? It's the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. When we do that then, he says in verse 18, and being made free from sin, you become servants of righteousness. So we die and are resurrected from the spiritual death to be a servant of God rather than a servant of the ways of the world. But we have to make that decision every day. So yes, through the sin of Adam, sin came into the world and death came into the world. But through Christ, by his death, burial, and resurrection, we're given the promise and the privilege of eternal life. But we have to make the decision every day we live to believe him and to obey him. This evening, if you need to come for whatever reason it may be, won't you come as we stand and as we sing?